This is a UOA on campus production. This podcast was recorded on Kaurna land. We acknowledge the Kaurna people as the original custodians of the land and pay our respects to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples.
You'll want to make a note.
Should you be taking notes or something?
You got a pencil? Write this down, quick.
Why aren't you taking notes?
Write this down.
Aren't you going to write this down?
Did you need me to take notes?
Please take note.
Hello and welcome to Take Note, the podcast where we give you the best notes on everything you need to know from the day you start uni to the day you graduate. I'm your host and current honours student, Shannon, and today we'll be celebrating Pride Month. We'll be chatting with Pride Club President Kansas about the queer experience on campus, and we'll be hearing from you to tell us your favourite things about being queer. Pride Month is a really important time for our gay and queer besties on campus. It's a time to celebrate being authentic and raise awareness for the issues and challenges our queer friends still face. I'm joined by President of the Pride Club Kansas to chat about Pride on campus. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Hi, thank you so much for inviting me.
So why is it important for universities and institutions to have those specific spaces for queer people?
I think a big part of it is being able to find your community once you actually get to uni. Because we obviously have other supports, like we have the queer officer in the student representative council and everything, but their job tends to be a lot more bureaucratic and dealing with like the university as an institution itself, whereas we're sort of the first point of call where students can go to just hang out and relax.
Yeah, and have that, I guess, student-to-student peer support as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
University and early adulthood in particular can be a time of discovery for a lot of people as they're meeting a lot of new people, going out on their own. If someone is a little curious about their own queer identity through this time, what advice do you have for them?
My advice is pretty much just talk to everybody. There's, like, a lot of actually queer culture and stuff in Adelaide. There's lots of really cool like bars and stuff that you can go to. I personally recommend My Lover Cindy. They're a really, really brilliant space, and they also quite often run alcohol-free events and stuff. And they also, all of the cocktails that they have on offer, they also have non-alcoholic versions. So if you're somebody who isn't wanting to have to deal with, you know, a lot of youth nightlife already kind of requires you to drink in order to socialize. So if you don't want to have to do that, that's still a really great space you can go and hang out. Other universities as well also have queer spaces, and we interact quite a lot. And yeah, I reckon just getting to know people is a really good way to be able to see how you see yourself in other people and kind of better understand yourself by the things that you share and the things that are different between you and the people you interact with.
Yeah. And we are, I guess, in June being Pride Month as well, which is such an important thing for us all to acknowledge. But why do you think it is so important to have something like Pride Month that comes around and has everyone sort of take notice of, you know, our queer communities?
Yeah. Well, I think taking notice is like pretty much the main point is raising that visibility. And because we're actually quite lucky, because in Adelaide, we technically have two Pride Months, because June is sort of recognised as like the international sort of Pride Month. And the timing of that is because of when the Stonewall Riots took place in the 1960s in the United States. In Adelaide, we also have the Feast Festival, which takes place in November, or Pridevember is what they usually refer to it as. So we kind of get best of both worlds with that. And I think it's great because it provides both the opportunity to like have that confidence to be louder about yourself if you previously haven't had that confidence or haven't really had the space to be able to do that. It opens up for those conversations and kind of gives you an excuse to talk about those things with other people. And it also provides that space to talk about the things that aren't always as good in our community and give more awareness to what else is happening and what kinds of issues different groups are facing and how we can actually help combat them as a community.
Yeah. And I guess on that, what are some of those sort of, I guess, current challenges that queer students or I guess queer youth do still face?
So currently in South Australia, conversion therapy for queer people is unfortunately still legal. It was recently, I believe it was Western Australia finally got rid of it like a week ago as of recording. but in South Australia, unfortunately, it is still entirely legal and it is something that still happens. I think it's one of those things where people, similar to when the gay panic defense was still legal, I think people were like, well, what's the point? Because like, obviously nobody uses that anymore. But it's like, I know people who are my own age who are like in their early 20s who have been through like pretty much exactly what you would think of when you hear the term conversion therapy.
That's wild.
And so that's a thing that the community is really trying to push for at the moment. SARA, the South Australian Rainbow Advocacy Alliance, has been a massive, massive supporter of getting this done. They've been involved a lot with different South Australian politicians. They're the ones who are running a petition at the moment, which if you go to pretty much any queer space in Adelaide, they will have the petition for you to sign because like due to some weird rules with how South Australian Parliament works, for this kind of thing, it has to be physical signatures on a piece of paper. You can't just like submit it online like you can for federal. And so like we have a bunch of them in the Rainbow Room. I know the Three of Cups Tea House in Arundel Mall has one going around. I think they posted the other day that they had like 250 signatures or something. So that's a thing that we're really trying to push for politically at the moment. And also, obviously at the moment, trans rights are a thing that's really an issue at the moment with how it's being discussed. Most of the media that we're seeing about it is in relation to like what's going on in the UK, what's going on in the US, but there are a lot of things in Australia and in South Australia that are going on as well. It's still like ridiculously difficult to access gender affirming care. Like even if you go through like the sort of guaranteed system for it. So like for an example, so I went through the process of actually like going to a psychiatrist and having them diagnose me with gender dysphoria, which is not something that is like needed as much anymore. You can go through an informed consent model with your doctor, which makes things a lot easier. But at the time that I was doing it, it wasn't quite as streamlined. So I went through that process, which, you know, cost me about $300.
Yeah, it's a lot when you're a student.
Yeah. And then after I got that, I was able to be referred to the gender clinic at Marlbury Hospital. And when I got the referral letter, they said that I was marked as a high priority case and that they would send me another letter when an appointment was available. And that wasn't for another 2.5 years.
Yeah, wow.
And so I've now, like, I've been on HRT for quite a while now, and it's been one of the best things that I've ever been able to do in my life. But, like, even just getting to that process when I was going through, like, what was considered to be the best route, the best course of action, was still ridiculously difficult. And most gender-affirming surgeries are not covered by Medicare. And so if you're wanting to get, like, a mastectomy, or if you're wanting to get like a vaginoplasty or something, you're going to be like 10K plus, usually much, much more out of pocket just to even get that done. Hmm. And that's not even to mention the wait times for those kinds of surgeries and stuff as well. And it's one of those things where once, if you've realized that you're trans when you're in high school, and if you're not in the position where you're able to like start HRT or things like that, then usually once you turn 18, that's when you're able to start like planning for that and be like, okay, I'm a legal adult. I can start making these choices for myself. But then in most situations, you still unfortunately can't. Like the recommendation that was given to the UK government recently was that transgender people should basically be treated as minors until we're 25. based on like what is now considered a really outdated idea of like when the brain like fully forms sort of thing. Like you shouldn't be allowed to make any life-changing decisions until you're 25, but that's only applied to transgender people.
Yeah, not whether it's getting pregnant or choosing
it's like,
your life path.
If you're 18, you can get married, you can join the military, you can like vote, you can pay taxes, you can do all of these, like, in some cases, objectively more dangerous things.
Yeah.
But you can't choose to. And, like, quite often that would also most likely impact people who, like, in my case, who are trying to seek things that would prevent them from getting pregnant in the future. Like, if you're seeking a hysterectomy and for whatever reason that's been written down as being a gender-affirming surgery, you're not going to be able to get that until you're, like, 30.
Mm.
And it's just, yeah, it's very much an issue of not just like it reaches into all forms of like bodily autonomy and the restrictions of that in the wider population. So yeah, that's a thing that we're really trying to raise awareness about and hopefully get fixed in the next little while.
Yeah, and I can imagine those wait times that probably feel really hard to look down the barrel of when you are particularly a young person and, you know, whether you are in high school, you know, before you are going through any big biological puberty sort of changes, this kind of thing, that would feel like a lot of time you're losing to have to wait for that.
Yeah, there's a line that I remember hearing from a YouTuber, I believe it was Abigail Thorne, who was talking about like puberty blockers and stuff. And the thing is that the process for getting on puberty blockers is long and puberty itself is very fast.
Yeah.
And so even though there are absolutely options available to you if you start HRT after puberty, obviously if you're in a position where you know who you are and you have that supportive environment, we already prescribe puberty blockers pretty liberally anyway to people who are intersex, who might have precocious puberty. Because obviously, like, if there's an 8-year-old who's starting puberty, most people would probably think, that's a little early. We'd probably want to delay that until they're a little bit older so that they're not like forced into this new level of physical maturity that is out of step with their peers or that would make them feel uncomfortable. Like it's science that we already have and that we already know is helpful and useful to the population. But once it actually becomes a thing where it's a person's choice to do it, is when people tend to get a little finicky about it.
Hey there, fellow students. My name is Jo, and welcome to Mindful Moment, brought to you by the Student Health and Wellbeing Team. University is an amazing place to try new things, learn more about yourself, and figure out who you are. It should be a safe space where you can be yourself and feel accepted by the university community. So do your bit and make sure the university is a place that welcomes everyone and celebrates difference by being kind and open to others and supporting all our communities here on campus. Thanks for taking this moment with me. Your well-being is important, and until next time, take care and be kind to yourself. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at U of A Student Wellbeing.
And I guess for someone that is looking for a queer community at uni, you've got the Pride Club, which you're the president of. So what sort of things does the Pride Club offer? What kind of events or activities do you do?
We are primarily a social club, obviously. We facilitate the Rainbow Room, also called the Dr. George Duncan Memorial Room, which is a safe space on campus where people can come and hang out. You can attempt to study, but people are usually pretty loud in there. We have beanbags. We have a bunch of like plushies. We have a Jungle Swag and a Blowhigh from IKEA. all of them are named. So if you come in, people can introduce you to them. We were previously in Union House, but with the construction stuff going on at the moment, we have been moved to a temporary space in Hartley G29. It does require keycard access, but if you would like, you can shoot me an email at the Pride Club account, which is pride@clubs.ux.org.au. And I can organize you getting keycard access. Otherwise, you can just knock on the door and somebody will let you in. And once the construction in Union House is complete, we will have a lovely new purpose-built space alongside a bunch of other, like, I think it's going to be alongside where the women's room is and the mature students' room. And it's all going to be cool, and it's going to have running water, and it's going to have a kitchen. It's going to be great. We quite often will have, like, afternoon teas and stuff, which are usually every 2 weeks, but you can keep an eye out on our social medias to see what's going on with those, which are completely free to attend whether you're a member of the Pride Club or not, and all of the food, all of the tea and coffee is completely free. We will often be teaming up with the Games Club to have like board games and card games and stuff as well, or sometimes we'll literally just like sit in a circle and play Mafia or play Truth or Dare or something, like it's a big sleepover. We quite often are teaming up with other queer university organisations. We're currently working with the Rainbow Club from the University of South Australia to team up for things like Ida Hobbit, probably like Wear a Purple Day and stuff, because we obviously have a lot of overlap with because Adelaide's such a small place, have a lot of overlap of membership and stuff. We've worked with DITA, with the Disability Illness Divergence Association on campus before, to run info sessions with representatives from the NDIS to like help educate people on what it's like to seek that service, not just as a disabled person, but as a queer person. Yeah, we usually have an annual Halloween quiz night that we do, which is alongside like your sort of typical Halloween theming. We do the standard sort of categories, but we also have usually like, you know, a gaming category or like a horror movie category. It's a costume party, so everybody always gets dressed up. We've worked a little bit with like Wilta Yalu as well on campus and stuff, who have been really, really great supporters of our work. Yeah. And if you're from a different club as well and you think, oh, I want to get involved, even if you don't have like any queer people in your club, which I doubt statistically speaking, we're always down to join up with other clubs as well. And just make as many people on campus as possible feel safe and connected. And yeah.
I love that. And I guess where else can someone go if they are looking for support, or in particular queer support? I'm sure there's places besides the Pride Club as well.
Yeah. So even just on campus, the wellbeing group is absolutely brilliant. Also, the Ally Network. If you go on the university's website, they have their own little section where you can see different teachers who have done. I've had a look at the training and it is so comprehensive. It's like it's a lot of like really complex stuff. That's really cool to see like teachers and professors at uni like volunteering to go through that training so that they can understand how to support their queer students. Outside of the university, there's also Shine SA, which is just on Hyde Street. It's like a 10-minute walk away. Which is a sexual health clinic. They work with SAMH, who also does sexual health stuff. They provide things like free antibiotics. They have HIV testing. They're the ones who provided for us to have HIV self-test kits on campus as well.
Wow.
Free sexual health products like condoms and dental dams and stuff. Really good peer counselling and stuff from other queer people. They also have a lot of like GPs and stuff there that are really, really helpful. And they provide a lot of links to other services. There's Trans Health SA, which is an online website that you can visit, which is run by pretty much the same people, which has things like the practitioners list, which is a community created document that basically lists a whole bunch of different doctors in South Australia, like GPs, psychologists, surgeons, endocrinologists, like pretty much anybody you can think of that has basically been vetted by the transgender community as people who are supportive, not even necessarily of like people who are able to provide you with gender affirming care, which most of the people on this list can, but also just like GPs that will take you seriously and listen to you and respect your identity. And it is sorted by like where they're located, whether they're bulk billed, how to contact them, like all of these really cool resources. They also have resources on like how to change your name and your gender marker in South Australia. There's a whole bunch of different places. There's obviously, I've mentioned there's other queer spaces on the UniSA campus, and the Flinders campus as well has the Queer Collective. Yeah, I think that's most of the ones off the top of my head.
That's a pretty comprehensive list.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyone listening is definitely going to have lots of places to go. But thank you so much for joining me today, Kansas. I've really appreciated it.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you for having me.
Let's hear from the LGBTQIA plus community here on campus to tell us what their favourite thing about being queer is.
All right, so tell me, what's your favourite thing about being queer?
It's interesting. It's interesting. It's very much a double-edged sword. There's good and bad that comes with it. But that's kind of what makes it interesting. I enjoy the good, cry at the bad, but like very, very much at uni, you kind of like, that's your years where you discover who you are and go try out your options.
My mind goes to the ability of not participating in certain things, like the ability to not participate in the rat race of gender, if that makes sense. Of, like, I think cishet society in general has a lot of like bullshit rituals and rat races that mean nothing and do nothing. Like there's that pressure to perform in the exact right way. And you can just choose not to participate. Like you just can. And like at least for me, an assigned gender feels like a job that you hate. Like you have your boss and you have to go to work every day at something you f***ing hate. And you can just quit and you can just choose not to participate in that. And you can just do whatever you want.
Yeah, that's a big question. My favourite thing about being queer, the amount of love I've been able to feel both from other people and from myself as I have been able to live more authentically, and I guess the positive feeling I've had from bearing myself, my actual self, in front of people and having them not just accept me for that but love me for that and have them like, you know, like me for that even. And that is definitely the thing I would say I love most about being queer.
That's all we have time for. Thank you so much for listening in to today's episode of Take Note. If you enjoyed the show, then please follow us on Spotify and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts so that other students can find us too. Head over to our Instagram where you can follow us at uoa.oncampus and send us a DM. Let us know what you think of the show. Any resources or services mentioned in today's show will be linked in the show notes for you to check out. This episode was produced by myself, and I will see you next fortnight for another episode of Take Note.
Take note.
Take note.
Take note.
Take note.
Take note.